This is an I Am Listening exclusive podcast.
I'm Noomi Gilder.
I'm Harriet Taylor.
And you're listening to Tech Girl Energy, the weekly debrief.
Our picks of this week's tech headlines.
And what we think of them.
We're aiming for 50% informative, 50% fun.
Let's dive in.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Tech Girl Energy, the weekly debrief. You've got myself, Harriet Taylor.
And me, Noomi Gilder. Hello.
Hello, hello. How are we doing today?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm very good. I think we should dive straight in this week. We've got some really interesting stories.
Yeah, let's do it.
The first one we've got is subsea fibre cables can listen out for sabotage. So, new technology monitoring when subsea fibre cables are moved or affected for potential sabotage is basically the tagline of this news story. And I think this is like really interesting considering, I'd say, the geopolitics that are going on at the moment. And
yeah, really fair point.
Yeah, I think it's really cool that we've got this type of technology now. So basically, Daniel Gerwig, who's the global sales manager at AP Sensing, which is a German technology company, has said the acoustic energy which travels through the fiber is basically disturbing our signal, and we can measure this disturbance. So they're using acoustic energy, it's pretty cool, which is acoustics audio, in case people didn't know. But yeah, like in recent months, there have been multiple reports of damaged telecommunications in the Baltic Sea. Again, that sort of goes back to the geopolitics we've just spoken. And these cables are very important because they're the cables that carry the huge volumes of internet data between countries. I think we've also mentioned this on a podcast as well, right?
Yeah. We kind of had this realization of like 95% of the world's internet travels through undersea cables. Mm-hmm. So we have this idea of like the cloud and Wi-Fi and everything. And actually,
it's not
most of our planet is hardwired.
Literally, like I didn't realize that until we actually did that episode of the podcast. So
yeah, me neither.
I mean, we need to protect these cables, sounds like.
Yeah, so it sounds like a thing that needs to be looked at. And then quite interesting that they're obviously fiber optic cables. And then they're kind of using the properties of the cables to be able to detect whether they've been moved or touched, or if there's like something nearby. So is there, you know, a hostile vessel or an underwater
drones.
Yeah.
cool.
So really interesting.
Yeah, no, the more I read about this, the more it's actually pretty cool that we're using this type of, I'm going to say technology, but I think it's pretty cool that we're using this sort of not basic level of energy detection, but it kind of is, right?
We're just trying to
see if there's any disturbance. And then from that, we can work out where it is and what it could be. But yeah, apparently the company that have created this have deployed ships, drones and divers with sea scooters to find out how accurately the software could pick out and identify the presence of these vehicles. And they've also tested to see whether their cable could hear a vessel putting its anchor into the water.
Wow.
So they've been testing it thoroughly.
Yeah.
So it makes you wonder, are they expecting something to happen? But it's pretty cool. So they can even work out the approximate size of a vessel passing above the cable itself, its location, its direction of travel sometimes, and then that could be correlated with the satellite imagery or even the AIS, which is automatic identification system records. So they can detect movement pretty much of most vessels from a cable.
That is so crazy. It's like Daredevil of the sea.
Do you think like maybe they've had this for a while and they're just announcing it now just to be like, by the way, we know what you've been up to?
maybe they're like, just so that you know, we can check these things. Or maybe there's been a bit of a scramble of like, hang on a sec, maybe we should.
Let's tell them that we can do it. Yeah. But yeah, apparently there's a few limitations. So David Webb at Aston University said that fibre optic sensing technology cannot pick up disturbances from very far away and you need to install signal listening devices or interrogators every 100k or so along the cable.
Okay, so there is like extra.
I mean, to me, that doesn't sound, it doesn't sound like you'd have to install a lot, but I suppose the sea is massive. So 100, what's 100k in the sea? But yeah, so they can pick up vibrations hundreds of metres away, but usually not several kilometres away. And apparently the technology is currently deployed on some cable installations in the North Sea, but declines to comment further. I'll leave that information for you.
we're treading in dangerous waters here. Maybe we'll get detected by the fiber optic cables. But I also just really interested that there's like more stories now about these cables. I feel like that, you know, the big secret is being uncovered.
Yeah, like why are we getting all this information about undersea cables all of a sudden?
They're having their little moment. They're like, too long we've waited in the depths of the ocean with people not realising how important we are. And now yeah. It's time for us to step into the spotlight.
I suppose there's that angle of it. But then also it makes me wonder, like, is there an attack planned?
I love how much of a conspiracy theorist you are.
I know,
like,
sorry,
every story you're like, but what if...
But then half the time it happens, right? So it makes you wonder what's going on in the North Sea.
Yeah, a lot,
this
apparently.
Is actually happening. Like, why do France have nuclear submarines just drifting around there? But anyway, it's getting very Stranger Things of me.
Keep an eye on the news and we'll see if Harriet's correct soon.
Well, we can see if this technology works and we detect it. So,
yeah. It's definitely a hell of a test. Right, let's move on to our next story now. It's kind of like two linked together that have both cropped up this week. So NVIDIA, I think they've had like a big event this week because they kind of cropped up a lot in the headlines. They're obviously famous for making really great motherboards and processors and CPUs and chips for high-performance computing. And in a talk this week, the CEO, Jensen Huang, said that he thinks the humanoid robot revolution is closer than we think. Less than 5 years away, he says, from seeing wide use in manufacturing facilities. So it was during their annual developer conference. That's what's happened this week.
Wow.
He unveiled some software tools in that talk that he said would help humanoid robots navigate the world. And he said, you know, them walking around and like integrating in our society is probably a little bit further away. But he thinks that the manufacturing industry is probably where we're going to see them adopted first, because it's a controlled environment, it's well-defined tasks, it's quite guardrailed. So he said that, you know, that's where he thinks that we're going to start seeing them within the next 5 years. And then there was another news article this week as well, talking about a robot called Apollo, which has just been debuted, that can lift more than 25 kilograms, which I can lift more. So sorry, Apollo, but you're a little bit far off. But it can potentially perform repetitive tasks that, in the words of the developers, are dull, dirty, or dangerous for humans. And they were talking about integrating that robot into manufacturing. So it's like this week, it feels like it's a really exciting time that there's so much buzz about us seeing these types of robots in
Robot Week.
Robot Week in an industry setting.
This is cool. Scary, giving me throwbacks to, is it, what's the one with Will Smith in it?
iRobot.
I don't know why. Oh, wait, no more conspiracies. Okay, this is real news. I'm going to stop. Just stop. But no, I think it's cool, but it just makes you wonder for, like, people that work in warehouses, like, are they freaking out when they read stuff like this, right?
Yeah, and it would be interesting to know, like, is it the idea that you would get it to do maybe a task that currently a robot arm does or something? So it's another, you know, it's already a piece of machinery doing that task, but this time, because I remember even in my PhD research, there was some literature about if you put humanoid robots that can kind of like interact with humans into manufacturing, that can be useful because then you can have humans and robots in the same space. Like if they understand, like if they can, you know, like manipulate objects with humans, then you're able to have that kind of hybrid environment rather than a piece of machinery that has to work in isolation. So it'd be interesting to see if they're kind of going to try and do that, where their existing machinery becomes more intelligent and more able to work flexibly with us, or are they replacing the humans?
Well, I mean, I guess the fact that they're called humanoid robots, and I'm assuming they'll probably like look a bit like humans and move a bit like humans, makes me think they're trying to make them do tasks that humans currently do. Right?
Or but is it that, you know, like with this Apollo, which is made by Aptronic, a US company, with them saying, oh, it's for tasks that are too dull, dirty or dangerous, is the idea that you would bring them in and then, you know, the human workers would then be able to do more complex tasks or tasks that they prefer, rather than like, oh, well, we'll just fire the humans because they don't like doing it anyway. And, oh, it doesn't matter if they don't have a job, which I think is, you know, because I think there's this is getting really philosophical now, but there is this kind of like philosophical thinking of, oh, wouldn't it be nice if we had robots and AI and machines doing all of the rubbish tasks that we don't want to do, so that we're free to spend our time, you know, educating ourselves and doing our hobbies and doing, you know, more intellectual pursuits or something like that. And that's like obviously a really nice idea. But if you're just going to fire loads of people, how are they going to find work and able to make a living and everything?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like there's...
But you're just going to kill off capitalism by accident, right?
Yeah.
Because the winner wants to spend money.
Yeah, I feel like there's a gap there that needs to be bridged first. And that gap is universal income.
Wow. I don't think people are ready for that, though, because, you know what, I think lots of people agree with it, but then obviously the people that have quite a lot of money, it's not in their interest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And those people tend to be the ones running the company.
They're controlling this, yeah. You know what I would be here for, though? I want a humanoid robot cleaner.
Yeah.
Like, I'm down for that. I'm fired on her, that just does everything in my house that I'm not doing. I'm not paying anyone to do, but needs to be done. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
They do say that we might be a little bit far away from them being in our houses, cleaning for us and tidying up for us.
What do the Tesla robots do? Because I know people already have them in the houses, but I don't know what do they...
I saw the demos when they first announced them, but I haven't actually seen anything like since then.
I've seen them on a few streams online. I think, is it Kai Senna? One of this big streamer guy has one, and every so often it just walks into the room behind him. That's about it. That's all I've seen.
That'd freak me out if I was on a live stream and suddenly my robot was just like behind
me.
Bit
creepy.
But maybe I've watched too many horror movies.
Yeah. Oh, conspiracy.
Get my tin hat out. But yeah.
I should start making my own brand. On the same topic of Tesla, that kind of like segments well into our last topic of the week, because Chinese Tesla rival BYD's electric cars can now fill up as fast as a petrol tank.
This is crazy.
I like this. This is a game changer, because I think even talking in the office where I work and there's people with electric cars, they're always saying like, if you need to charge a car and you're at a petrol station, because they're a lot more widespread now, you end up waiting in a queue.
Yeah.
Then you've got to wait like 15-20 minutes just to get back home. Yeah. So yeah, this sounds insane. So Chinese automaker BYD has become the first in the world to unveil a commercial battery for electric vehicles that's capable of charging in roughly the same amount of time as it takes to fill up a fuel tank. Now, their new Super E platform offers 1,000 kilowatt charge speeds, which is four times quicker than the 250 kilowatt charging rates of Tesla superchargers. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's four times. So that these speeds can offer a range of up to 400 kilometers in just 5 minutes of charging. This unlocks everything, I think.
Yeah, yeah, because I do think the biggest hurdle at the moment for electric vehicles is just like, you know, petrol, you queue up, you fill up for 5 minutes and then you're off again.
Yeah.
Whereas electric, like you say, you're queuing for a charge point, then you got to wait for it to charge, then you got to go again. The range isn't as good in these vehicles, so you're having to do that more often. You know, I think it limits like the kind of journeys that people are comfortable doing. And that's reflected by what the company said in this live stream. They said that this new technology would solve users' range anxiety when traveling.
That's, to be fair, it is a big common complaint though, isn't it, right?
Yeah,
like, you don't
want
to be traveling and stuck without charge on your vehicle. It's like not having a phone, but worse.
So apparently it's going to be in the latest Han L and Tang L models, which are only going to be in China to begin with. But then it'll be interesting to see, like, because we are seeing a lot of Chinese electric vehicles enter the global market and the UK market. I've started seeing BYD cars round and about in the UK.
I'm here for this.
Yeah.
Because it's opening up the market, making it more competitive and making it more achievable to get an electric vehicle, because before they were all quite new, or you'd have to wait for a Tesla or something like that. And a lot of the new ones, and especially a lot of the ones from China, have got a lower entry price point as well.
Yeah.
So
it kind of opens it up and makes it more possible for more people. Apparently, electric cars now make up 18% of all new cars sold wide. That was in 2023. It's up 4% from the year before. So it is like the demand is there. Yes. And it's nice to see that we're getting these technological advances to help meet that demand.
Yeah, because I think that is probably the key to unlocking, like getting rid of combustion engine cars. It's providing a grid and a network to charge these vehicles on. Mm-hmm. And because the more you have on the road as well, the more people adopt it, the more charging points you're going to need, and the quicker you're going to need it to be. So if you can charge your car up in 5 minutes or less, like,
that's crazy.
Yeah. You're happy. That stops everyone that says, oh, I can't get an electric vehicle, like, takes too long to charge or run out of charge. Now it's like, well, not anymore.
Plug it in, watch a couple of TikToks,
off you go. But no, I think this is really good. It's good news, that. And also, it's good that you're starting to see other disruptors in the market as well, and not just the same usual names. Mm-hmm. Don't want to name them again because they've got a lot of publicity today.
But we all know who they are.
Yes.
So, yeah, some good positive news to end on this week. Mm-hmm. You've been listening to Tech Girl Energy, the weekly debrief, and we'll see you next week for another episode.
Make sure you catch us online on social media platforms. We're on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube Shorts, Facebook, and Threads. Bye.
This has been an I Am Listening exclusive podcast. For more information, head over to our website, iam-listening.co.uk.